The following Dharma talk was recorded in July 2013 in St. Louis, Missouri. It is one of five recordings from the retreat called Living Our Lives Fully, taught by Phil Jones. The retreat was sponsored by Mid-America Dharma. If you like this recording, you can find more talks at www.midamericadharma.org. For questions, we welcome your emails sent to info@midamericadharma.org. The retreat teacher, Phil Jones, has been teaching insight meditation since 1996. He has studied with Matthew Flickstein and teachers from Spirit Rock and the Insight Meditation Society. He has served on the board of directors of Mid-America Dharma since the mid-90s. More can be found about Phil at www.silentmindopenheart.org.
Basho, the 17th century Japanese poet, said, "To learn about pine trees, go to the pine tree. To learn of bamboo, study bamboo." So to paraphrase Basho, here's a capsule summary of our practice with the four establishments of mindfulness. To learn about the breath, study breathing. To learn about the body, get to know sensations. To learn about feeling, the pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral or neither pleasant nor unpleasant quality of our experience, investigate feeling. To know the mind-heart, examine the mind-heart. To be free from stress, struggle, and suffering, intimately study suffering and the cessation of suffering. So in other words, our practice is really to pay close and careful attention at the sensory level of our experience. When we give our lives this kind of close and careful attention in a loving kind of way, what we get back is the richness of what it is to be a human being. But to receive this gift, we also have to let go. We have to let go of our habitual ways of thinking and perceiving about our experience. We have to look more closely at what our actual life is at this moment, and this moment, and this one. And more challenging, perhaps, is that we have to be willing to move out of our comfort zones and into those edges of our lives that are sometimes scary, difficult, maybe even very threatening. We have to summon some courage, compassion for ourselves, trust, and maybe a bit of desperation in order to actually move in this way into what's difficult. One of the tools that we use in order to become more intimate with our lives in this way is the beautiful factor of mind that we call mindfulness. Mindfulness has two basic qualities to it. There's a lucid, clear, or bright quality to our awareness when we're being mindful. And the object of our awareness tends to take on a much more vivid kind of a quality. That object may be a thought, maybe a sound, maybe some kind of touch or body sensation, a taste, a smell, a sight. The other quality of mindfulness is remembering. Remembering to keep our attention focused on our meditation object, whatever it happens to be at this moment. Remembering specific teachings that we've found helpful, or remembering our own experiential insights, our own wisdom, both of which we then use to help guide us as we relate to these experiences that come up. One of the ways that we use both aspects of mindfulness is to really focus in on the bare facts of what we're encountering. For some people, this is really what mindfulness is, seeing the bare facts, not getting caught up in our conceptualization about whatever it is we're encountering, or our stories about what we're encountering. Just the bare facts, ma'am. In some Zen practices, this focus on the bare facts is summed up in the practice of trying to meet everything with the question, what is this? What is this? What is this? Not really settling for any kind of answer, but continually looking to see what is present now. What is its nature? How do I experience it? As we consistently relate to our experience as simply bare facts, part of what happens is we begin to see our experience, each moment of our experience, as an event that's coming into awareness, is present for a while, and then it passes. An event rather than as who or what I am, or something happening to me. This is just something arising into awareness at this moment. So it's pretty quiet here, other than the hum of the air conditioner. But if a sound arose, maybe the door slamming or somebody walking down the hallway talking loudly, or something outside. If a sound arose, how do we relate to it? Do we experience it as having a pleasant quality? And we start thinking about maybe a song that comes to mind that has a similar sound to it. And our minds spin off into this song for a while. Or maybe we perceive it as having an unpleasant quality. And we get caught up in thinking about it in terms of that shouldn't be there. And maybe we start getting irritated or even angry about it. These are all pretty common ways of responding to any aspect of our experience. But we're not meeting it with mindfulness at those moments. If a sound arises and we don't make it into a problem or into something that we want more of, but simply experience it as a sound, an event, something that's arisen into awareness. Here it is. I experience it. Maybe it's pleasant. Maybe it's unpleasant. And I don't elaborate on it in any way, but just allow it to move on through. This is being mindful of it. Maybe while all that's happening, there's also the awareness of an impulse arising to grab onto it or to push it away. But when we're responding with this quality of mindfulness, we simply notice that impulse as well, not getting judgmental about it, but just noticing, oh, there's this impulse right now, and maybe recognizing this is not an especially skillful way for me to relate to this object of attention. So I let this go as well. And if judgment arises about the impulse having arisen, then trying to respond to that with mindfulness as well. Just a thought arising in the mind. Can I just let it be a thought and let it go? This is our practice of mindfulness. As I mentioned last night, one of the keys to our practice is really establishing a continuity of mindfulness, moment after moment. And this is true not only when we're sitting on the cushion, but at that moment when we begin to think about getting up off of the cushion, and the moment when we do get off of the cushion, and the moment when we begin to walk out of the meditation hall or down the hallway. as we get up and as we're walking out, noticing the sensations that we're experiencing, noticing the intentions to move, noticing if there's a desire that arises, maybe for a cup of tea, or maybe to go outside for a while, or maybe to go to the bathroom. Noticing if there's a feeling tone associated with any of these desires. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Not getting judgmental about any of this. Just seeing. This is what's happening right now. This is what's going on in my experience. Just moment after moment. In the Abhidhamma, which is a very systematic presentation, organization of the Buddha's teachings, the quality of mindfulness is categorized as one of the universal beautiful or skillful qualities of mind. It's beautiful because it is skillful. And it's universal because when one of the beautiful qualities of mind arises, when it's present, all of the other ones are present as well, to some degree. So three of the other universal qualities that arise, and there's more than this, are the qualities of tranquility, lightness, and goodwill or metta. You may have noticed in your own meditation practice, or you may notice this weekend, that as your mindfulness becomes stronger, as there's more continuity to it, that your mind and your body begins to feel more tranquil, more serene, more settled. You may have noticed that there seems to be more of a quality of an open heart at those times. And even that there's just a sense of more lightness to the body and the mind. It doesn't feel so heavy, so ponderous. These are those universal qualities. One of the things that happens is, as we're mindful more and more consistently, and these other qualities are arising, our tranquility gets stronger and stronger. Tranquility is one of the factors of awakening. And it's actually the condition for the arising of the quality of concentration. Mindfulness leads to, among other things, tranquility, which leads to more concentration for us. And as our concentration gets stronger, as I mentioned last night, then it becomes easier to be more mindful. And so we kind of go through this cycle again and again, developing greater and greater momentum to our practice. So the message is, don't worry about whether you're making progress. Simply be present for for this moment as much as you can. Notice with careful attention what you're experiencing right now and how you're relating to it. And the rest of the practice will take care of itself. So I'd like to close with this quote by the 20th century Zen master, Shunryu Suzuki Roshi, which kind of expresses this whole idea. After you've practiced for a while, you will realize it's not possible to make rapid, extraordinary progress. Even though you try very hard, the progress you make is always little by little. It's not like going out in a shower in which you know when you get wet. In a fog, you do not know you're getting wet. But as you keep walking, you get wet little by little. If your mind has ideas of progress, you may say, "Oh, this pace is terrible." But actually, it's not. When you get wet in a fog, it's very difficult to dry yourself. So there's no need to worry about progress. Just to be sincere and make our full effort in each moment is enough.